thing that does happen while I'm fasting is things just seem so much clearer. Like, even in the physical, I can hear better, I can see better, and spiritually, unfortunately, one of those things is you can smell better. Oh, yoy. Anyway, but spiritually, though, I can hear clearer. Are you finding that? Who's fasting and can hear clearer on day 7? That's what happens. That is the great thing. I mean, last week we were talking about all the rewards you're going to get. You can hear clearer. There is nothing like it. Because when you can hear God clearer, it'll change your life. I can hear him clearer. I dream every night, probably like 3 dreams a night. And I'm gonna talk about one of my dreams right now, actually. Yeah, I mean, this is the end of a short series of Taking Ground, because we had a prophetic word from Pastor Danielle at the beginning of the year that 2025 is a year of taking ground, not just for our church, but for you, for your family, for your finances, for the calling of God in your life, for your healing, whatever you're believing for, we're taking ground. So this dream I had, and I've had this dream before, this is like a recurring dream for me, and I usually have this dream every time I fast, because it reminds me on how to take ground, and it reminds me on how to push through and to be persistent, really. This is what this dream is about. So the dream is about a dam wall. A wall that's at a dam. A dam wall, okay? A dam wall. And there's a big hammer. It's the hammer of God. But on the wall is a scripture, like a scripture reference, actually. It's JER 23:29. Now, that scripture is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. So every time I have that dream, it reminds me the word of God is like a fire. It brings warmth. It burns things off that doesn't belong there anymore. But it is like a hammer. So things of the most resistance, it smashes it. The word of God does that. A fire and a hammer. It's a fire and a hammer. So I don't know if you've ever used a sledgehammer before. Give me the hammer. Bring the hammer. Just the hammer. Yep. Bring the hammer. Thank you. Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Fasting doesn't help like someone I can lift this thing. This is a hammer. It's a sledgehammer, all right? Now, I want you to picture, and you may have actually done this, like if you're, I bet you've done this, Judd. It's his sledgehammer. So thank you very much. Yeah, I got some advice from my engineers today, like this is the sledgehammer. But if you go out and you're trying to break some concrete, you can smack it the very first time and nothing will happen. Now, in my dream, this is what's happening. The word of God was coming. It was like prayer was coming and banging against that dam wall and nothing was happening. And then bang, nothing was happening. Then a declaration would bang, nothing was happening. But what's happening, even when you're smashing concrete and that, nothing might happen at the beginning. But what is happening on the inside is that there's crystallization going on and it loses its structural integrity. This is what happens. Every smash of the hammer, boom, loses the integrity on the inside. So you can't see any difference. Still looks like a wall to you. But every time you hit it with the word of God, bang, it moves it. So every strike. And then in my dream, I started to see there's a little hole. Just a little hole, which just raises your faith, brings it up your faith. And then you just start, boom, praying again. Boom, declaring again, believing again, hitting that thing again. And eventually, it all smashes. Now, do you know what? The final result is that, yes, it smashed. But to get there, every prayer, every declaration, everything that happened beforehand It wouldn't have happened without those. It's not that final thing. It's everything before it. So that's why that dream is about declaration. So my first point from how to take ground is to bring the hammer. Now we're going to have a little demo. Now's the time. Bring the hammer. So bring the hammer. So bring the hammer means bring the hammer, declare God's word until it breaks. Okay, that's the, like everyone's looking, oh, back to me. Bring the hammer, declare God's word until it's break. Until it breaks. So we're going to have a little demo here. Now I know if I ask for hands, you'll be like, yes. The Sons of Thunder over there will be like, yes, I'll do it. Seth over here will do it. Like, yes, I'll do it. But David Crowd, I can see him. But no. I've spoken to my engineers, our A team. And Sam here is going to give us the demo. He is. So in Jeremiah 23:29, it says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Every time you speak the word of God towards what you're believing in, the breakthrough. I feel breakthrough in this place tonight. And later on, we're going to pray for exactly that. But every time you speak the word of God towards whatever you want breakthrough in, something happens. So let's go. Every time you speak the word, oh, there we go. We lost the little board there. See, the structural integrity is going on this thing. Every time you declare promises, every time you want breakthrough, and you keep on going, and you keep on going, and you keep on going, and you pray, and you declare, and you, oh, look at that. Come on, give him a hand. You get the idea. Thank you very much, guys. I'll leave the hammer here. I like it. I like the hammer. Like, that's awesome. This is if anyone stops listening or going to sleep. Hammer. You'll get the hammer. No. No, but do you see? This is what happens when you speak and declare the word of God. When you bring the hammer, when you bring the hammer of the word of God and you declare, like, God, I believe, like, if you're believing for breakthrough and healing, you are declaring, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. Every time you declare that, you're bringing the hammer of the word. When you feel that you're under spiritual attack, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Even, like, nothing. When you're believing for breakthrough for provision, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. My God will supply all. Just get into the word of God. I love it. Every time. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. I must have said that scripture, I don't even know how many times. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And I started saying that when I was dead broke and in debt. But every time it broke the integrity, the structural integrity of that demonic thing over my mindset for finances. Boom, 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 boom. And eventually it was gone. That's what the word of God can do. Brings breakthrough. Who knows, that next prayer that you say, that next declaration, that might be the one that breaks the dam wide open for you. So let's believe, like, later in the service, we're going to pray for exactly that. I want you to start thinking now, whatever you've written down for your fasting that you want breakthrough, and I want you to start to think, what's a word of God that I can, what am I believing? What can I declare? What can I declare for that? Because we're going to do that a little bit later in the service. You might be here tonight and you're thinking, what the heck is going on? No, that's okay. You might never been here and you don't have a relationship with God. That's fine. I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart a little bit later. Like Pastor John, when he was sharing communion, talked about a God who loves you, who is kind, who is not far. And that's the God I know now. Not always, but I know that now. So that was my first point. Bring the hammer, declare God's word until it breaks. Boom. Number two, this is how we take ground. The second thing is I'm going to talk about David. David in the Bible, he'd just been anointed as the king, and he was taking new ground. He got a promotion, he had authority, he had leadership. But as soon as that happened, opposition came. The Philistines came out in full force. Just because you're stepping into your promise doesn't mean that there won't be a battle. There most likely will be. Breakthrough is often preceded by resistance or a battle, something that you've got to get through. So David didn't panic, though. He didn't panic. He didn't assume that he knew what to do. He seeks God. In 2 Samuel 5, verse 19, he said, "So David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?' The Lord answered, 'Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands.'" So David obeyed, and he went out, he won, and he renamed the place where it was Baal-perazim, which means the Lord of the breakthrough. The Lord of the breakthrough. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. When we inquire of him, which David did, not only did he tell them to go, he gave them the strategy to do it. When we've got something going on, we need to seek God's guidance. So that's number two, seek God's guidance. Number one, bring the hammer, declare God's word until it breaks. And number two, seek God's guidance. When you seek him, like, he leans in. I mean, he's listening right now because he's thinking, man, that was awesome. I loved it. I loved you smashing that. He does. When you pray, he leans in. He's like, oh, wow, I love it when Terry prays like that. Yeah. When Renee, like when she's praying and declaring the word of God, he's like leaning in like, oh, come on, the word of God. Seek God's guidance first. So ask God first. If you've got a battle going on in your life, ask God. If you've got a legal battle, don't just think, oh, well, I've got to do this, I've got to ring a lawyer, I've got to do that. Ask God first. If you've got a financial battle going on and you think, oh, well, I'll go do this, I'll do this, do that, ask God first. He might say, yes, go and see a financial advisor. He might say, but ask him first. When you've got any kind of battle in your life, a health battle, ask God first, because he can give you the key to breakthrough. Years ago, I mean, I've asked God many, many times over like my time as a Christian, which is like around about 22, 23 years now. 22 years, where I have asked for lots of things for breakthrough, little things and big things. And when you ask him with all your heart and you listen, he will talk to you. He will speak to you. I have no doubt about that. Years ago, I had an opportunity to leave a well-paid full-time job to work at church for one day, where the pay rate was a lot less than the normal pay rate where I was. And I went home. What did he say? Yeah, well, I did have the word. Yeah, exactly. Such an opportunity. I used the word opportunity. I went home and, you know, I had no intention of, like, leaving my job. But I thought, you know what? What I can do, I can probably go part-time and do the day at church. I thought, that sounds like a good idea. This is my thinking. Then I thought, maybe I better ask God first. I ask God because I know him. I know he loves me. I know he's got a plan for me. I know he's got a plan to prosper me, just as he has you. He's got a plan for each and every one of you, a plan to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And I know that about God. So I ask him, what do you reckon, God? You know, like, go part-time. And he goes, no, leave. Leave it. Leave your job. Do the one day. I'm like, no, I don't think so. So I'm like, I'll ask again. Because don't we do that, though, when we hear things that we don't want to hear? Like, I know I do. It must just be me. But anyway, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm hearing properly. I asked again, no, I want you to leave. And I want you to do the day. Now, God kept saying to me, I am your provider. Don't worry. I am your provider. Don't worry. I am your provider. Put your trust in me. I am your provider. Put your trust in me. It was so hard for me. I'm not joking. I'd never had to do this something like this before where I think, well, How am I going to do this? But God was teaching me that he, not only was he my provider, but he was actually leading me to the bigger plan that he had for me. That's what he was doing. I didn't know that. I didn't know what he was doing. All I was thinking is like, this is not great. This is not funny. But however, I did. I did do that. And I'm going to tell you, it was tough. I had some real financial battles at that time, and it was hard. And there were times where I thought, man, that was a mistake. And I really did. I had to lean in and I'd think like, really, God, was that you? But it was him, because he brought me through it. But in that bringing me through it, it's in the battle where you learn the most. It's in the battle and the tough times that I really realized, like, he was just teaching me to trust him, to trust him. So, and I did, and I trusted him. So, and that's what, when you've got something that you need wisdom on and guidance on, seek God. Seek God's guidance, because he will always lead you the right way. Believe it, believe me. So, and how you can do this, like, ask him, but also surround yourself with wise counsel. People that love you and believe in you, that want to support you. Maybe it's your group, as Judd was talking about there. You know, or get mentors around you. Get good people around you that can help you as well. But always ask God first. So, we've got number one, bring the hammer, declare God's word until it breaks. Number two, seek God's guidance. Now, totally different. We've had David, he was a king and amazing. Now, we're looking at Hagar. Okay, so this is in Genesis 16. Hagar was a servant who faced challenging circumstances. Due to her connection, she was the servant of Sarai, who later on, her name is Sarah. God changed her name to Sarah. And Abram, later on his name was Abraham. So Abraham and Sarah were Abram and Sarai. Actually, this is in Genesis 16, and Genesis 17 is when they changed their names. Just a fact for you right there. So Sarai was unable to have a child, so she came up with this amazing plan. She thought, you know what? She allowed Hagar to have a child with Abram. You know how children happen. Hey, I don't need to spell that out for you. Right, yeah. No, but that's what she did. This is her. She allowed that. But when Hagar became pregnant, tension arose. Oh, can you believe it? Don't need to be a rocket scientist, work that out. Tensions arose between her and Sarai. And she felt, then Hagar, she felt mistreated and decided to run away into the wilderness. So she runs into the wilderness. She's feeling alone and uncertain about her future. You know, isn't there times when we feel uncertain about our future? And sometimes that's what we do. We run. We run. We run to somewhere. We isolate ourselves. But this is what happened with Hagar. But there in the middle of the wilderness, God met her. And he told her, go back. I see you. I have a promise for you. And then Hagar names God El Roi, which means the God who sees me. Our God is a God who sees you. He sees you clear. He's a God who sees everything about you, and he loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants you to know him more and more. But he's a God who sees. But he said, yeah, go back. So she obeyed, and God brought her breakthrough. It seems like sometimes, you know, breakthrough, it requires us to trust God's plan and walk in obedience even when it doesn't make sense. That would not have made sense to her. Why would she go back when she'd been so mistreated? She wasn't in a very good position anyway because she was a servant, but she did. But knowing that he sees you, he loves you, and he has a plan for your breakthrough, it helps you to actually walk into areas where you don't know what's happening and it doesn't make sense and it doesn't actually even matter, because you obey God and he will bring your breakthrough. So number three is face your problems. You know, running from your problems, like Hagar did, it never solves them. I mean, I know that for a fact. Hidden things are the things that actually make us sick on the inside. They are. Things that we hide from people, things that we don't want other people to know. You know what it's like. It's like this thing on the inside of you. I know, because I've done this with different things at different times. Sometimes you just need to talk it out. Sometimes you just need to talk to somebody. Sometimes you just need to talk to a pastor or talk to a friend, you know, that is confidential. Sometimes you just need to speak it out. Isn't, you know, how people just feel, you know, I got that off my chest. You've heard that saying. It's because when we hold things in, that's what it does. They're stuck on our heart. They can cause hardness of heart. They can stop us from having our breakthrough because this thing holds on to us. But when you talk about it, you can get it off your chest. It can be as simple as talking to someone. Sometimes it's forgiving someone. Sometimes it's confronting someone. Sometimes it's taking responsibility. Those things to get your breakthrough. But whenever you're hiding or holding or on the, something on the inside, until you release it, it's like you're not fully free. You're not fully free. You know, like years ago, I had an investment property and I was going to make so much money. Amazing. I just had it all planned, like squizzillions. I was going to be a millionaire out of this house. No. But I was. I was going to make so much money out of this investment. It was all on paper, like looked amazing, so good. And I was new to God, so I was doing a lot of this in my own strength. And then the whole market changed and it became a terrible situation where it was costing me $3,000 a month. This is 18 years ago. Yeah, it's a lot of money every month. $3,000 a month to keep it. But if I sold it, it would mean that I was left with a debt of $100,000. Oh, such great choices. But you know what? I held it because I didn't want to tell anyone about it because I felt like an idiot. I felt so stupid. I felt like a failure. I mean, man, I don't want to tell someone like I've got myself into this mess where I'm like $3,000 more in debt every month. I mean, that's embarrassing. I feel like stupid. Like I did, and so I did. I didn't talk to anyone about it. I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. I didn't even want to face it. And anyway, you know, I just wanted to run from it. But reality was that the market had changed and there was no way I was ever going to get what I was supposed to get at the beginning. But I had to face the problem. I really did. And I remember three times in one day getting this phrase. It's not in the Bible, but I knew exactly what it meant. And it was, cut it off and stop the bleeding. Okay, cut it off and stop the bleeding. I knew that I had to stop it. Otherwise, the debt was going to grow to so much that $100,000 is probably the best way to go. Like having a debt of $100,000. So I went to a financial advisor and I said, look, like, finally, I'm like, I need to sell it. And he said, no, don't sell it. Hold it, because the market's going to turn. Oh, and I'm like, and I've got to tell you, inside of me, I'm thinking, I'm wishful thinking, hopefully, like, maybe it will. But I'd already heard the word of God, so I thought, nah, sell it. So I sold it. And he goes, you're going to be left with $100,000 in debt. I'm like, I know, but I'm just going to have to do it. So sold it. I've got to tell you, it was like a breakthrough. I know I had $100,000 in debt, but what a relief. No longer did I have this thing hanging over my head. No longer was I going and hardly sleeping at night worried about what was going to happen to this. It was like, it was tormenting. It was torturing me, this thing. So no longer... it didn't keep me up at night anymore. I had a clear mind, even though I was left with $100,000 debt. You know, that's when I realized that failure is not the end. It's an opportunity for growth. It helped me to develop resilience and to learn from my mistakes. And it helped me to know that if I'd spoken to someone a bit earlier, I might have only had $75,000 debt. Like if I'd, talk to God a little bit earlier. So that's what I'm saying. These things, talk to someone. But I really realized then, I made a mistake, but it's like having a clean slate. It is. It's like having a clean slate. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm not going to give up because I know God, like, you know, I know you want to prosper me. I know you're going to help me to get out of this debt because you helped me to get out of debt before. Like, and you didn't get me in this debt, but I know, God, if I lean in and trust you, you'll give me ideas to help me. You give me ideas. Not your fault. I'm not blaming God. Because that's what I was trying to do. I was blaming everyone. I was blaming the real estate agent, the financial advisor, like anybody I could get by. I'm blaming Shekinah. I don't know. But this is what happens when you've made a mistake. You, instead of facing it, you blame everyone else and you run. Like, yeah. But anyway, back to like, I thought, come on, God, help me. And in a year, I made 100 grand the next year. That cleared that debt. Because that's what God can do. Because he's a God of breakthrough. He's a God of breakthrough. He's not a genie. I don't want you to think that. It was hard work doing that. It was like making that 100 grand. But he gave me an idea and I listened. And it was hard, but I did it. So this is what I'm saying. Like, he is not a genie and he doesn't cover our stupidity. Do you get what I mean? Like, I'm talking about my own there. But he did help me. So God has got big plans for your life. And just because God's planned them doesn't mean that they're going to happen by themselves. There are things that God will require of you. For any breakthrough, he requires things of you. There'll be hard things that he asks you to do. And it might be things just like, taking that job, things that don't make any sense. Or it might be things that I don't want to get myself in that kind of debt, but I know that things are going to be worse if I don't. Or it might be things that your family, you know what, I don't want to forgive them, but I know that's the next step for me. I don't want to confront that person, but I know that's the next step for me. He's going to ask you to do things that you don't want to do. If you want your breakthrough, he'll give you what to do, and it's up to you whether you do it or not. He's a God of breakthrough, the Lord of the breakthrough. So bring the hammer, declare God's word, come on, declare it over and over again. Smash those things that you want breakthrough in. You need breakthrough over anxiety or fear. Just see that wall of fear, and smash it, just smash it. So bring the hammer, declare God's word. Second thing, seek God's guidance. And the third thing is face your problems. You can do it. You can do it.